The Lord be with you. What is preventing you from going home? Home, that place of peace and rest and belonging. Well, for the Jewish people, 600 years before Jesus, what prevented them from going home was the Babylonian army. They were conquered and taken off to captivity in Babylon, and then 70 years later, they were set free. They were told, "You can go home now." Except what stood between them and home was over 600 miles of wilderness, walking from modern-day Iraq to Israel, desert filled with hills and mountains and valleys, that they would have to walk almost entirely on foot. It would be an incredible journey, and it is the plot of the 1993 film Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
I'm gonna miss you so much.
Left behind with family, friends.
Have a nice vacation!
And far from their home. Three beloved pets take matters into their own paws. He's Shadow.
Something doesn't smell right.
She's Sassy.
Cats rule and dogs drool.
He's Chance.
Get a life, get nine of them.
Now, they're determined to find their way back.
I'm going home.
Wait!
They're off on an adventure they'll never forget.
Oh, this ground isn't nearly soft enough.
Don't be such a sissy, Sassy.
It's an untamed world full of surprises.
What's that smell? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I never thought anything could smell too much.
P.U.
Where nothing comes easy.
Hey, Scram, get your own fish.
Careful, pup.
Help!
And danger waits at every turn.
I gotta tell you, domesticated animals wouldn't stand a chance at you.
Where the forces of nature will test their ability to survive.
What?
It will be an incredible journey home.
Hey guys, wait up!
Come on!
Home is just over that mountain.
All right, so as a kid, this was one of my favorite movies of all time, right? It's about three adorable pets, the bulldog puppy named Chance, who was a stray living on the street till he was locked up in the pound, but he's rescued by a family and given a second chance. But he still always kind of thinks relationships are temporary, you gotta get what you can while you can, think for number one. And then, of course, there's the cat, Sassy, who thinks she's better than all the other dogs, And then there's the wise old golden retriever, Shadow, who knows that a dog's job is to take care of his boy. And these three pets are left in Bishop on the other side of the Sierras while their family takes a trip to San Francisco, and they think they've been abandoned, and so they journey across the Sierras on their own all the way to basically Los Angeles to be reunited with their family. To say, these pets have to go literally over mountains and hills and through valleys. They've got crooked paths and rough roads. And what would be good news for them is the good news that Isaiah preaches to the Jewish people in Babylon. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his way straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked ways become straight, and the rough ways will be made smooth. Right? What Isaiah is describing for God's people and for these pets is a world in which God is going to take those mountains and bring them down in the valleys and fill them up. He's going to make it smooth so that instead of a vast wilderness of rough terrain, they've got a highway running straight to take them home to where they belong. Now, John, in today's gospel lesson, he takes up Isaiah's prophecy. He quotes these words and cries them out once more. But what John is talking about is not that the Jewish people are in some distant land trying to make it back to Jerusalem. What John is talking about is that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and Jesus brings with him the kingdom of God, which will be our home on earth, that place of peace and rest and belonging. But there are obstacles in the way of that happening. But the obstacles for us receiving this home in God's kingdom, they're not physical obstacles. They're relational obstacles, obstacles in our relationships with one another and with God. And that's true in the movie Homeward Bound as well. The obstacles that these animals face, the greatest obstacles are not the physical ones, they're the ones in their relationships with each other, right? Chance, who thinks, you know, what I gotta do is steal everyone else's food first before they eat it. Literally, I learned the phrase, you snooze, you lose, from watching this film. And of course, you heard the cat Sassy say, cats rule, dogs drool. Basically, all the mean things I learned how to say as a kid came from this movie. Even Shadow, the wise old golden retriever, there's a moment where he dismisses the puppy's warnings that a cougar is coming. He says, ah, you're being hysterical, you're just smelling things. And because of that, they're nearly eaten by a mountain lion. To say it is these things that become the hindrances, right? The crooked paths become the distractions. Chance the bulldog, he's off trying to smell porcupines and skunks, something my dog does as well. The windy roads and rough paths become when Sassy the cat, she doesn't want to swim across the quiet waters of the river like a dog, and so she finds a fallen log to climb across so she doesn't have to get her paws wet, but she ends up slipping and falling into the river. These are the things that make their journey difficult, right? Within their relationships, they have created mountains and valleys where the cat sets herself high up above the dogs, and the dogs, Chance in particular, puts everyone else below him and only thinks about his own interests. And these are the same mountains and valleys that prevent us from reaching the home in the kingdom of God in our society. The distractions of wealth and power, those crooked ways, those rough roads that we make that prevent us from heading straight to God and God's kingdom. The mountains and the valleys of inequality, of divisions within groups, of calling some people greater by making other people low. We dig ditches for some people so that others can stand on mountains. These are what prevent us from coming home. And in the movie, it is only in the wilderness that the animals learn how to make smooth those mountains and valleys, because it is in the wilderness that they realize the hierarchies and divisions that they've created for themselves won't get them through if there's not a limitless supply of kibble. Right? The dogs realize the cat has the ability to catch trout from the stream and feed them. Praise be to God for the cat. And the cat, when she falls into that waterfall, the golden retriever dives into the rough waters doing the doggy paddle to try to save her. And even the antics of that bulldog puppy save the team when his antics inspire a way to use a rock as a teeter-totter and catapult the cougar into the river. It's a Disney movie, you know. All to say, they recognize within each other that some of them have strength, some of them have mountains that they can use to fill up the weaknesses and the valleys of the others. They find a way in their relationships with their difference to make the way smooth for each other. They become the way of the Lord that is prepared. They become the highway that brings them home. And we see God doing the very same thing in our gospel lesson today. Luke starts off this passage by listing off a bunch of names that probably didn't mean anything to you, but they were the names of the emperor and the governor and the rich and powerful people in the land and the religious leaders. It would be like starting off by naming all the people with political, economic, and religious power in our society: Joe Biden, Gavin Newsom, Jeff Bezos, and the Pope. And saying, okay, there's all these people, and let me tell you what, there's some mountains in our society that need to be brought low. Well, who's it talking about, huh? But here's what God does. After naming all these people with incredible power and influence in the world, it says that the word of God came to none of them. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The word of God comes not to presidents or CEOs. It comes to a guy living in a trailer in the foothills. A guy who spends his life trying to inspire other people to prepare the way of the Lord by straightening out those crooked places, by filling up valleys and making low mountains. And next week, we will see the specifics of how John calls people to do this. He will say simple things like, look, do you have more food than you need? Well, share your food with someone who doesn't have enough. He will say, do you have two coats? Well, give one of your coats to someone who doesn't have any, right? To say, if you are higher, make yourself lower so that someone can be at least level with you. And he will say to the soldiers, he says, don't use your power to extort people, just protect people. He will say to the tax collectors, don't take more money from people than they need to pay. He will say, clear away those distractions of power and money, make your ways straight. There in the wilderness, away from all the lures of society with its hierarchy and its wealth, John tells people, you have heights in yourself. Use them to fill the valleys in your neighbors so that you can become the highway, the way of the Lord that will lead us all home. When the animals in the movie learn to do what John describes, they make it home. Even Chance the bulldog, who thinks to himself that his life is the life of a stray, he'll never have a family, he'll never have a house, when he learns to love and sacrifice, he finds that even for him, there is a home waiting for him at the end of his journey. And we, like that stray puppy, we find our home as well. And I want to show you how this film ends.
It was Shadow's victory, really. His belief was the thing that got us through. And in that moment, I saw the years lift from him. He was a puppy again, reunited with his best friend.
Shadow, oh, it's good to see you, boy.
As we turned to go inside the house, a strange, new feeling came over me. I had a family. And I had found out that sacrifice and friendship and even love were more than just the mushy stuff.
Come on, Chance, come inside.
At last, for the first time in my life, I was home.
Turkey! Turkey, 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 turkey.
Right, as a kid, I was so moved by this ending, not least because, right, I too was a little boy who loved my dog, but also amazed by the dedication and faithfulness of these pets to do whatever it takes to get home. But I will tell you, I had a very different reaction watching this movie for the sermon, because I watched the movie and I realized on one level, the pets had to take this incredible journey to get home, but on the other level, they didn't have to take this journey at all. If they had just trusted that their family was going to come back after the trip and pick them up, they wouldn't have had to cross the entire Sierras. It's interesting, though, right? The pets, they believe that they have to leave the place where they have been put. They believe that they have to find their own way home for two very different reasons. Chance the bulldog, he believes that relationships are all temporary. He literally says at the beginning of the movie, humans, they use you and then they lose you. And he knows that when he gets lost, he gets locked up in the pound, and some dogs, they don't come out of the pound alive. And so for him, being in this place of waiting, it is terrifying, and he does whatever it takes to break free. He's going to find his own home. But for Shadow, that wise old golden retriever, he leaves for a very different reason. You see, he believes that he's the only one who can take care of his boy. That in fact, there can't be a home for anyone unless he's there to make it happen. Chance lives in a valley, a valley of despair where he believes he doesn't and will never belong. But Shadow has put himself on a mountain where he alone is the one who can make home possible. And the result is both of them have to go on this journey because they believe they are the only ones who can get themselves home. You see, so often the true obstacles between us and being home are not the physical ones, and they're not even the relational ones. They're the spiritual ones, the mountains and the valleys in our own hearts. And that's what Paul's letter to the Philippians addresses that we heard today. Paul writes to the Philippians, and you got to remember, the early church at this point in history, the church is made up of slaves. It's made up of women who have no other place to be seen as full people in society, right? The church at this point is written to people on the margins, outcasts who are put into valleys, and Paul writes to them with love to build them up, saying every time he thinks of them, he gives thanks to his God for them. He builds them up, but he builds them up not as a great rabbi who's gone to school and has all this education. He builds them up not as the greatest of Christ's apostles. He builds them up as a man who is in prison himself. He has been jailed for preaching the gospel and is awaiting a potential death sentence. And as he builds up these people in Philippi, he gives thanks to them because they have built him up. They have sent words and gifts of food to give him strength in his time of prison. What we see in this letter is the community that John describes, people who live in the wilderness of the margins, who recognize that in them there are heights to fill each other's depths. They recognize that they can build up the other people enough that those people have extra to fill their needs. Paul, even while he is in prison, he is unafraid because he understands something that Chance and Shadow don't. Paul understands that even there in prison, he is at home because he has in his heart the kingdom of God. He knows that he has a place of peace and rest and belonging in Christ, no matter his physical surroundings. But also, unlike Shadow, Paul knows it doesn't all depend on him. Paul has given his life to bringing forth the kingdom of God, to preparing the way, but he's not afraid that if he's stuck in prison, it won't happen, because he knows that it's about more than just him. It is Christ who will prepare the way, and he writes to the people in Philippi that he is confident that the one who began a good work in them will bring it to completion by the day of Christ's coming. We do the work, but Christ began it, and Christ will finish it. I was reminded this past week that Martin Luther, when he preached about Advent, he said to his congregation, Advent means he comes. It means Jesus comes. It means not that you have to go and get Jesus, not that you have to go and find Jesus, not that you have to work and make everything happen so that Jesus will show up, but that Jesus will come and he will find you. He seeks you. He brings God's kingdom to you. The last line of our gospel lesson today says, all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. That is a promise. It is a promise that all flesh, including dogs and cats and even that skunk, they will all see the salvation of the Lord. Jesus will bring them all home someday. And Jesus will bring you home too. And so the question then is not whether or not we make this happen. The question is, what kind of journey will this be for you and for your neighbors? Will this be a journey in which you need to be dragged over mountains and down waterfalls so that you too remember that it is in the people around you that you will be lifted up, and that they give you the opportunity to make yourself low? Or will this be a journey of the heart, of letting go of the mountains of our arrogance that we are exhausted from holding up, a journey of the heart allowing those wounded parts in ourselves to be filled by our neighbor's love, to clear away all those empty distractions that do not bring us life and make our way straight to God? May you be home for the holidays this year. May you be in that place of peace and rest and belonging. Christ is already here. And so, yes, may we go forth and work in the world that all people may receive this home in their lives. But in our hearts, may we rest. May we prepare the way of the Lord by trusting. Trusting that it is not we who have to get ourselves home, but Jesus, who is already here to take us. Amen.